I was asked to discuss Segula, superstition, Ayin Hara. When the Torah was given to the Jewish people after Yetzias Mitzrayim on the occasion of Maimon HaSinai, the world didn't know so much about science, so there was an awful lot of superstition to try to understand what's happening in the world. So the Ribbono Shel Olam prohibited us, Lo Se Nachashu V'lo Se Oneinu. Ribbono Shel Olam told us we shouldn't go for any of these superstitions, we shouldn't follow any of this magic, we should follow Teva. So what is Lo Se Nachashu, what is Nichush, and what is Lo Se Oneinu? So Nichush is, the Gemara gives an example, a person is going on a highway and a deer is going to a function, and a deer runs across the highway, he takes it as a simon that he shouldn't continue to go. Or something like that. Something happens and the person takes it as a simon that he should do something, he should not do something. So biderech hateva, in the course of nature, absolutely doesn't make any sense at all. So the Torah says we should follow nature, we should follow science, we should not follow these spooky voodoo simon. We're not supposed to take this to heart. Lo Se Oneinu, the word Ono means time. We're not supposed to think that Friday the 13th is an unlucky day. Certain times are lucky, certain times are unlucky. We have a tradition that there is the month of Adar is lucky with respect to a confrontation between Jews and non-Jews. So our tradition has it, the month of Adar, the mazel of the Jewish people is Bar Yamazle, it's stronger. And the first 9 days in the month of Av, the 9 days before Tisha B'Av, is Reya Mazle. The Mazle of the Jewish people, when it's in contrast to that of the non-Jews, is weaker. So if a Jew has a court case with a non-Jew, he should go, if he can negotiate, he should try to see to it that he should have the case taken up in court during the month of Adar, when the Mazle of the Jews is stronger, and he should try to avoid going to such a court case in the first 9 days of Av. But aside from these two times of the year, the 9 days of Av and the month of Adar, there is no such thing that certain seasons of the year are more mazel tik than others. I remember there was a wealthy businessman whose daughter needed surgery. She was a little child, she needed surgery, and the surgeon was going to be a non-Jewish doctor. So the fellow wasn't that makbid about observing all of the mitzvahs. He was a religious fellow. So he had a shaila. The surgery was scheduled to be in the 9 days. Is he allowed to have? They needed the surgery. Surgery was scheduled to be in 9 days. So he was concerned, but the doctor was going to do the surgery. He's non-Jewish. I thought it was a joke. But the doctor, there's a confrontation between a non-Jewish doctor and a Jewish baby. The doctor wants to help him out. So that's not an issue. The Gemara says if there's a confrontation between the Jews and the non-Jews, so the 9 days is an unlucky season for the Jews. But not if you're talking about surgery, has nothing to do with that Gemara. The Nemuki Yosef, one of the commentaries on the Gemara, quotes that there was a practice that when you're scheduling a wedding date, you should try to avoid the latter half of the month. You should want to try to schedule the wedding in the beginning of the month when the moon is getting bigger and bigger. But milui halavana. So just like the moon is growing, getting bigger and bigger, so the love for between the chas and kala should grow. As opposed to getting married at the end of the month when the moon is disappearing, getting smaller and smaller. So it's a simen toif to get married at the beginning of the month, the end of the month. So the Nemuki Yosef, in his commentary on the Gemara Sanhedrin, quotes that there were those who said it's forbidden to check the calendar. When you want to fix a wedding date, you fix the date, you ignore beginning of the month, the end of the month. It's not permissible to be makbid about this, because this is a violation of Lo Se Oneinu. Then the Nemuki Yosef says, no, we assume that it's permissible because we don't assume that the wedding will be mazel tik if you get married at the beginning of the month, the wedding will not be mazel tik if you get married at the end of the month. It's a simon type. The kala wears a white gown, a symbol of purity. So is that nichush? Symbol of purity. They should lead a pure life together. It's a symbol. It doesn't mean if the kala is not going to have a white gown, chalila, the marriage is not going to be wonderful. It can be wonderful. You have white tablecloths at a wedding. And if you have blue tablecloths, if you have orange tablecloths, it's nicer, that's all. So you get married at the beginning of the month, it's nicer. It doesn't mean that the world is going to come to an end. Someone from the Soloveitchik family printed a biography of the family, so they printed a copy of the invitation to the wedding of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. The parents of Rav Soloveitchik, they get married the Sof HaChodesh. They get married the end of the month. The invitation is signed by Rav Chaim Soloveitchik and his wife. They have the first name of the wife, Chaim Velipsha. I think the name was Lipsha, the Baba Lipsha. Chaim Lipsha Soloveitchik then has the first name. Today they don't mention the first name of the wife, as if that's a violation of tznius. They signed the wedding invitation, the first name, Chaim Lipsha Soloveitchik, and then the other side they had the first name of the wife over there also. They got married with Sof HaChodesh. They got married at the end of the month. So it's interesting, there was a Hungarian Talmud Chacham, big Talmud Chacham, who was killed by the Nazis in the middle of the war. Originally he was opposed to Zionism. His name was Rabbi Yisachar Doif Teichtal. He wrote a sefer in the middle of the war called Eim Abonim Smecha. So for years he was opposed to the Zionist movement. Then in the middle of the Nazi persecution, he was running away from the Nazis. The end was he was killed by the Nazis. He was running away, so he wrote a whole book where he backed out from his whole position of being against Zionism. He said, what a mistake we made. And he writes how important it is that we should have supported the Zionist movement. We would have had so many more lives, would have been saved. And he quotes all of Ma'amari Chazal about the importance of building up Eretz Yisrael. And he writes the whole sefer from memory. He writes he doesn't have any svarim. He's running away from the Nazi. I think he wrote it in Budapest. That's not where he lived. And he quotes all the sources practically word for word. Phenomenal sefer, word for word. So he wrote... He's known for that sefer, Eim Abonim Smecha. It was translated into English a few years ago. It was a very beautiful sefer. And he wrote Shabbos and Tshuvos also. Beautiful Shabbos and Tshuvos. His Tshuvos are not Hungarian style. His Tshuvos are like Litvish style. They're very beautiful Tshuvos. So he has a Tshuva about this. The Minig in Shulchan Aruch we paskin that you may look at a calendar when you're scheduling the wedding date. You're permitted to look at a calendar to schedule the wedding in the beginning of the month. So some people thought that the minig is that you get married the beginning of the month. He says, there never was such a minig to get married the beginning of the month. The minig is we permit you to look at the, you are permitted to be makbid. But if you want to get married at the end of the month, there never was a minig that you don't get married the end of the month. And you don't postpone, let's say, the catering halls are all booked for the next couple months. Are you going to postpone your wedding 3-4 months because you want to get married beginning of the month? He says, that's ridiculous. If you meet a nice girl, you want to get married, so you pick a catering hall and then you figure out when they can serve you. You shouldn't postpone the wedding because you want to get married b'tchilas ha-chedush. There never was such a meaning. You're permitted to try to arrange to get married beginning of the month. It's a siman tov, but it doesn't mean you get married at the end of the month. It's not going to be mazel tik. There is no such thing. Beginning of the month, the end of the month, it's all the same thing. The only difference is that this is a siman tov. The Gemara says we permit you to do things l'siman tov. That's not a violation of nichush. The Gemara has the one thing that they permitted that looked a little bit like nichush was if people were unsure what they should do. Should they go this direction, that direction? So they would ask a child who was learning chumash, Sokli psukecha, what did you learn in chumash today? So if the pasuk that the child would say, the first pasuk he would spit out, would be relevant to your situation, they would assume that that's a siman min hashamayim, they should go like that. They say when Rabbi Aaron Kotler was in Europe, and they were discussing, should he come to America, should he go to Eretz Yisrael in the Second World War? So he opened up a chumash, and the first pasuk that he came upon indicated that he should go to America. He understood the pasuk, go to America, so he followed that pasuk. Or they say the Goral Hagro, if you don't know what to do, so you open up a Tanakh, and the first pasuk that you bump into, that's basically Psok Lipizkecha, you ask a child. So the commentaries on the Gemara, the Rishonim ask, how are you permitted to follow this? Isn't this nichush? Just because the child happened to spit out the first pasuk happens to indicate something about your case. But that doesn't make any sense. So just you open up a Tanakh and it happens to be that that's the first thing you bump into. So that's the answer to your question. So the commentaries on the Gemara explain, the Torah was given to us to teach us how to lead our lives. So if you ask a child who's learning Chumash, what pasuk did you learn today? He spits out a pasuk. We assume the Torah is supposed to tell us how to lead our lives. That's the only exception to the rule that it looks a little bit like nichush, it looks a little bit like superstition is guiding us how to do something in the future. And the Gemara says that is acceptable, that's permissible. But other kinds of nichush are not permissible. We go to Tannisville for many years already in the summertime on vacation. So there's a group of religious Jews there who used to ask their Rebbe, Chassidish group, they used to ask their Rebbe all the shaylas. The Rebbe passed away. So they have a collection of letters of their Rebbe. And when they have a shayla, they write down the shayla on a piece of paper, they put it in the collection of letters, the igris. And then the next morning, they open up the page where they put the letter, and they find something on that page that gives them the answer to their shayla. So the woman was telling us that the family was debating whether they should go. The son wanted to go to a different camp. He didn't want to come to Tannisville that summer. And the mother said, no, you should go to Tannisville with the whole family. So she said she didn't have the letters, she didn't have the volume of the letters of the Rebbe, the igris of the letter of the Rebbe. So she had her cookbook. So she wrote down the shayla, she put it in the cookbook. The next morning she opened up the cookbook. Lo and behold, she had put in the letter on the page a blueberry pie. So she said, that's it, we're going to Tannisville, because she only makes blueberry pie in Tannisville. So that was her answer. So this concept of putting your shayla into the blueberry pie, this is a direct violation of lo sanachashu. Even to put your letter, even to put your shayla into a collection of letters of the Rebbe, also a violation of lo sanachashu. The only thing that's permissible is Torah shebichsav. We never heard of anybody, all the generations, who put a letter into the Mishnayos or put a letter into the Gemara. Only in Tanakh you have psok li psukecha. This kind of business is a violation of the biblical prohibition of lo sanachashu. The Gemara only permits simonim on Leil Rosh Hashanah. Everybody knows you eat an apple dipped in honey and you offer a prayer, we should have a sweet year. And you eat carrots and you offer a prayer, and you eat different vegetables, you offer different prayers. So the Gemara says, it's not that by eating the apple dipped in honey you will be secure to have a sweet year. This is permissible, the simon type. What does it mean, the simon type? What does that mean? So the Nesivus was one of the great Gaonim in the early, middle 1800s. So the Nesivus was a rabbi in the community. He not only wrote the Svarim on Shulchan Aruch, he wrote a collection of drushes. Nachlas Yaakov, which was used by all the Rabbanim in Europe, used to use the Nachlas Yaakov. So he writes in his drushes, he thinks that the pshat in this Gemara is, the ikar really is the prayer that you offer. Not just to dip an apple in honey. You have to say, Yiratzim ulfanacha, shetachar shalena shana toiva mesuka. The ikar is the tefillah. We'll speak about that soon. And he points out, the Ramban in his commentary on Chumash points out that there are two different types of nevuas, prophecies. Sometimes a prophet is instructed that he should take two branches and tie them together. He should eat some kind of pumpernickel. He should go to sleep and lay on his left side, lay on his right side, whatever. The Navi is told to do a certain activity. That's called a Nevuah prophecy with a Poel Dimyon. That's the expression the Ramban uses on Chumash. And most of the time the prophets are given in a prophecy. They deliver a prophecy without a Poel Dimyon, without acting anything out. So the Ramban says, what is this Poel Dimyon all about? What is added on? So he says, this is Mechazik the Nevuah. When the Rabban Shalom tells the prophet to act something out, that prophecy is a stronger Nevuah. That means it's certainly going to be Mekuyim. And if it's a prophecy without a Poel Dimyon, without acting it out, then it's a possibility that it won't be fulfilled, depending on what will play out in the future. So the Nesivus explains that when it comes to tefillahs, apparently the Gemara assumes there are two types of tefillahs. If you do a tefillah with a poel dimyon, you say, the Rabban Shalom should give us a sweet year. And you eat something sweet, you have an apple dipped in honey, so this is mechazik the tefillah, that's a higher level of a tefillah. And when you eat the carrots, you say, that's mechazik the tefillah. But the ikar is the tefillah, not the ikar is that you're eating the carrots. The carrots or whatever it is, the honey is just a poel dimyon to be mechazik the tefillah. Tefillah certainly helps. Our religion believes very much in tefillah. That's one of the Ikari Havuna, that we believe in tefillah. The Torah prohibits us from taking something as an omen for the future, the toivo, the ra, a black cat runs in front of me or something. So that indicates yes or no, whatever. You're not allowed to take that as a siman. Then the Torah has another pasuk: we're not permitted to follow chukas hagoyim. We're not permitted to follow the ways of the non-Jews. What do you mean not allowed to follow? Not allowed to eat French fries, because the French originated French fries. So the Gemara says no. Whenever it's something that makes sense, let's say, who came up with this idea that you wear winter clothes in New York and summer clothes in Florida? So you wear summer clothes in the summertime, you wear winter clothes in the winter. The Goyim came up with this idea. So we're not allowed to do it because the Goyim came up with the idea. So the Gemara says, whatever makes sense. Whatever makes sense. That's not an Issur Chukas Hakam. Chukas Hakam is a chok. Like in Eretz Yisrael, they make fun. That they called, when the Knesset passes a law, it's called Chok HaKnesset. So they all make fun. Nobody knows the reason for chok. Even the Chavri HaKnesset. Nobody knows the reason for the chok. So chukas hakam, chukas seim loisalech. If it's something that doesn't make any sense, something that makes sense to eat French fries. Why did they eat it? Because it tastes good. Southern fried chicken. Why did the guy eat it? It tastes good. So we can make it also like that. If it tastes good, it has a good reason. If something doesn't make any sense, and you do this in order that something should happen in the future, that's a violation of chukas hakam. So the Gemara says, whenever something works, let's say. Someone was telling me this week that he has gout, and people used to suffer years ago from gout. So this fellow went to the doctor, and he gives him pills, and he has a jar full of pills at home. So 3 times a year he has the problem. He takes one pill, and within 3 hours everything is stopped. Doesn't have any pain. So does that make any sense? His toe hurts over there, and he takes a pill, goes into his stomach. How does it help on the toe? You should rub something into the toe. So you're going to say it's like a kishuf. You take a pill. How does it help? It should be chukas hakam. It doesn't make any sense. The answer is, scientifically, there's an explanation for it. The doctors figured out that this pill solved the problem and it resolves the issue. So there's no issur chukas hakam. There's no issur nichush if you take a pill for a medication. Because b'derech hateva it works. And the Gemara says, kol davar sheyesh bo mishum refuah, ein bo mishum darkei hamori. Whenever something works, it means it's scientifically been tested that this works. So there's no issur nichush, there's no issur chukas hakam. But if something is not proven scientifically that it works, it's just a superstitious thing. So that is exactly the definition of the prohibition of chukas hakam. The rabbis in the days of the Gemara were up on the latest in medical knowledge. And the Gemara tells us we have an obligation to stay healthy. So the Tanoim and Amoraim quote different ideas from the doctors of their generation, and they say we have to follow whatever the doctors of their generation recommended. The Rambam lived many years after the days of the Talmud, so the Rambam was a doctor, and he rejected many of the medical recommendations of the Gemara. For example, the Gemara says that it's unhealthy to eat fish and meat that's cooked together. This is not a religious din, has nothing to do with kashrut. The Gemara said that it's unhealthy. Bergazok that it's unhealthy. The doctors in the days of the Gemara said that it's unhealthy. So the Rambam never quotes that. The Rambam gives you all the things in Hilchas Deis. The Rambam quotes all the things you should be careful about to remain healthy. The Rambam doesn't quote this about fish and meat cooked together. So the Chasam Sofer writes, the Rambam was a doctor, and based on the medicine of his generation, he followed what the Gemara said, just like the Tanoim in the days of the Gemara followed the latest lessons in medicine. So the Rambam holds you have to follow whatever is assumed to be correct in your generation. And today, we don't follow anything that the Rambam says. We follow whatever the doctors of our generation say. We do like the Tanaim, we do like the Rambam. You have to follow the doctors of your generation. Or for example, the Gemara has a whole discussion in Maseches Yevamos. A woman was married twice and the first husband died, the second husband died. So the Gemara said that it's a sakana to marry the woman. The third husband may die also. A medical sakana. So the Rambam does not quote this Gemara. And there's a famous tshuva by the Rambam that's quoted by the commentaries in the Shulchan Aruch, that the Rambam says that his father's Rebbe, the Rebbe Gash, who was a student of the Rif, used to be Masada Kiddushin for couples where the woman had lost two husbands before. They assume that this, what the Gemara says is unhealthy, is baloney. In the days of the Gemara, it wasn't Kabbalistic. In the days of the Gemara, that's what medicine taught. Medicine is always developing. If you look back today to the way they treated patients 10 years ago, You get about 300 years. You look back the way they treated patients 10 years ago, it looks like African jungle voodoo magic. It's ridiculous. The doctors today laugh at the way they used to treat patients 10 years ago. They keep on developing more and more medicine. They keep on understanding more about the human body and more about medicine. So the medicine in the days of the Gemara, when we look back, it looks ridiculous, but in the days of the Gemara, that was on the cutting edge of medicine. And the Chachamim said, you have to follow the doctors of your generation. So the Rambam changed a lot of the medicine from the days of the Gemara. Shulchan Aruch says, we should be up to date, we should follow what the doctors of our generation recommend. Morgan Avram is one of the commentaries on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, so he writes that we haven't heard in many centuries that the fish and the meat together is a sakana. So he says he doesn't think that there's any sakana, there's nothing wrong with it. The later commentaries are not so sure, even the Rambam left it out. Yechsam Sofer says the Rambam was a doctor and he understood that there's no sakana, even though the Rambam left it out, and even though the Morgan Avram, who lived way after the Rambam, Morgan Avram says he doesn't think it's a sakana. So the later commentaries say we're not so sure. But you'll see people, they're overweight, and they're eating cholesterol, and they're eating all the unhealthy things, and they're smoking, but fish and meat, that they won't eat. It's just ridiculous. The fish and the meat you should eat because there may be a sakana. Because in the days of the Tanoim, the doctors in the days of the Tanoim said that that's a sakana. So you should certainly be careful if the doctors of your generation say that smoking is a sakana, and cholesterol, and overweight, and all the other things. I'm talking to myself, I'm overweight. We certainly should follow the doctors of our generation. Maybe the fish and the meat is a sakana, so the yo-yo is still careful about it, and people are still careful about it. But your kal v'chaymer, you have to be careful with what the doctors of your generation say. The Talmud does not discuss cutting nails. This is in later Svarim. So some said you should be careful not to cut your nails in order, you should skip around. Others say, nah, that's ridiculous, but you should be careful not to cut toenails and your fingernails on the same day. This is not Kabbalistic, this is not halacha, this is medicine. Medically, they felt that this was a sakana. Why should it be a sakana? I can understand a little bit. They didn't have nail cutters like we have today. So if you're going to cut, a person cuts his fingernails, you get a little exhausted after cutting, you have 10 fingers, so if you cut the fingernails and the toenails one after the other, you may cut crooked. Yeah, you have to be awake, you have to be clear, you have to know what you're doing. So to cut 20 nails, b'zach hazeh, you can make a mistake and you can cut your flesh, or if you cut the nails in order. So the Rabbanim who came up with this idea felt that this was medically not recommended. It's not a Kabbalistic idea. It's not, no Sisra, there is no Kabbalah over here. They felt that this was a sakana. It could be that today that you have a nail cutter, there's no sakana. Ayin Hara, I remember when we were studying Baba Basra, on the first daf in Baba Basra, the Gemara has dinim based on Ayin Hara. So one of the students, he asked Rav Soloveitchik, but the Rambam says that there's no such thing as shadim, as demons. Rav Soloveitchik stared him in the eyes, he says, what has it got to do with Ayin Hara? What does shadim have to do with Ayin Hara? The Gemara says there's Ayin Hara. Of course there's Ayin Hara. Shmuel was a doctor. Rav and Shmuel learned together by Rav Yudah Nasi, so Rav got smicha, and Shmuel never got smicha. The Gemara says Shmuel was a doctor. So Shmuel once visited the cemetery. He said, he looked around, all the people who were buried in the cemetery said, 99% of the people died from Ayin Hara, and 1% died from a sickness that they had. What is Ayin Hara all about? Sounds like it's a superstitious idea. So the commentaries explain it's not something superstitious. The Pasuk says, Adam Yitzarik Barso Shiyasa Toiv Lo Yechta. Everybody sins. Whoever sins deserves to be punished. The Rabbi Shalom doesn't always punish right away. It gives you a chance to do tshuva. So Rashi in his commentary on Chumash, on Parshas Mishpatim, next week, Sedra, comments on the Pasuk. You have to be careful not to mistreat Almana V'yosim. Because if you'll mistreat Almana V'yosim, Hoyoyim Tzoki Tzake Lai V'shamayti Kechananoni, if they'll cry out to the Rabbi Shalom that somebody mistreated them, the Rabbi Shalom will listen to their prayers and he'll punish the person who mistreated them. So Rashi quotes from the comment from the Tanoim, if a person mistreats anybody, he deserves to be punished. Why is it only because if the person will cry out to God, if they'll pray to the Rabbanu Shalom, the Rabbanu Shalom should punish the one who is mean to them, then v'shamati kachana, even if they don't cry out. So Rashi quotes from the Tanaim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is memahir, he parei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will hasten to punish those if someone else was ba'avol. So whoever does an aveir deserves to be punished. We believe in schar v'yonesh. Baruch Hu isn't going to punish right away. So, and everybody deserves punishment. We're all bali aveir. So if I see someone else has happiness and I feel that that's not fair, how come he has happiness and I don't? How come he has a happy marriage, he has nachas from his children, and he makes a parnas and has a beautiful home? I deserve to have much more than he has and I don't have. So in a certain sense, there's an implicit prayer here that the Rebbe Shalom is being unfair. He should be fair to me. The other person shouldn't have this happiness and nachas that he has. So if someone cries out to the Rebbe Shalom that God is being unfair, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be mimahir lehiparei. He will punish the other person if he deserves a punishment. If the other person doesn't deserve any punishment, I can give him an ein hara from today till next year, nothing will happen. But if the other person is nishkin tzaddik, who is really a tzaddik, who never sins, never deserves any punishment, the other person is nishkin tzaddik, none of us are tzaddikim, and he deserves punishment. So if someone will pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not fair that he has all the happiness and all the wealth and all the panas and everything, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be memahir lehiparei. So we believe in Ahar. There is such a thing as Ahar. How do you protect yourself from an Ahar? So many people walk around with a reuter bendel, with a red string. The Tosefta in Masech HaShabbos gives you a whole perek, a whole list of activities that are forbidden because of Chukas HaGoyim. And the Chut Adam, the red bendel, is listed as a biblical prohibition. It's a violation of the Torah. The reuter bendel doesn't help at all. That's mamish chukas ha'akam. What does help? Tefillah. If a person believes, the Gemara says, someone is going to give an ein hara, so the Talmid Chacham, who wanted to protect himself, kept on reviewing in his mind, ein oid milvadoi. He believes that God is the only one who has power in the world. No one else has any power. So if you review in your mind, ein oid milvadoi, this will protect you from ein hara. And many years ago, they told over the story that someone visited Rav Elbala Soloveitchik in Yerushalayim. Someone from the Eidah Haredes visited Rav Elbala. So Rav Elbala asked, how is Rav Reuven Benges feeling? Rav Reuven Benges was an elderly Talmid Chacham by the Eidah Haredes, and he was healthy. So Rav Elbala asked, how is he? So the Balabas says, he's not well at all. So Rav Elbala said, I knew it. Somebody came to visit me the other day. And he said, he just visited Rav Reuven Benges, and he's so old, and he's so alert, and he can walk, and he can talk, and healthy, 100% healthy. And every time he was saying how healthy he was, I felt as if it's a dart in my heart that he gave him Rav Reuven Benges, and I knew he was going to get sick. So Rav Galvul was telling this over to Amram Bloy. Amram Bloy used to be, if you remember years ago, maybe you're too young. No, you're not too young. I remember when you would visit Meir Shearim, so Amram Bloy would stand there certain hours in the day, and if there would be a woman who wasn't properly dressed, he would have a group of people next to him. He would say "pritza," that the woman is not dressed properly. So he would say "pritza." He pronounced Yiddish "pritza." So they would all start screaming "pritza, pritza, pritza, pritza." They would scream that the woman shouldn't enter Meir Shearim. They have where the big sign is. Whoever's not dressed properly shouldn't enter Meir Shearim. So they would start screaming, Pritza, they shouldn't come in and to ruin their holy atmosphere. The tourists shouldn't come in improperly dressed. So this Amram Bloy was not tzaddik, he was a wonderful man. So he was from the Eidah Haredes. So he used to have the chazokah to daven Ma'ariv Ha'anamim by Rav Elbala Soloveitchik on Matzoi Shabbos. Every week Rav Elbala had a minyan in his home. So Amram Bloy daven for Ha'anamim. So he came on Matzoi Shabbos and they were waiting to daven Ma'ariv. So Rav Elbala Soloveitchik asked him, how's Rav Reuven Benges? And he said, he's very sick. Why do you ask? He's very sick. And he told him, and his guest came and he was saying how healthy he looked. I felt as if they're giving me an ein hara. So Rav Amram Bloy said, so ein oid milvadoi, no problem. The Rebbeinu Shalom is in full control. That'll chase away the ein hara. So Rav Elbala got very upset. He said, ein oid milvadoi, we believe in Yichud Hashem. Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad doesn't only believe that we believe in one God as opposed to more than one God, monotheism. It means more than that. Eiron Levada means there's no other power in the world outside our Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu has the full control of everything. So he got very upset at Amar Blo. He said, "You take an Iker and Amuna Eiron Levada and you make it cheap. You make it cheap." He says, "If it's just a, you say the pasuk as if that chases away nine hara. This is an Iker and Amuna." Amar Blo didn't know what he got so angry about. So he got married and he ran out. He didn't know what he wanted. So then later, Agalvala told over this story. Agalvala was away from home when the Nazis took over his part of Brisk. And he was with one of his children, I think with the oldest son, Rebel Soloveitchik. So he went by train from where he was. I don't know, he was in Warsaw or something. Went by train back to Brisk. And there were Nazi officers going on the train back and forth the whole time. So he told his son, "We should just have in mind Einoid Malvadoi the whole time, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect us. Nothing will happen." So they kept on reviewing in the mind Einoid Malvadoi, and the Nazi officers were walking back and forth. He was obviously a rabbi with a beard and taters. They didn't chat to him at all. As they came closer to Brisk, and they saw the forest on the outskirts of Brisk, they were relaxing. They're almost home. So they were Mesiach Das, the Einoid Malvadoi. She said, like from unter der Erde, as if from nowhere, one of the Nazi officers came over and said, "Who are you? What are you doing on the train? Let me see your identification papers." And he got so scared, they caught him already. Then he told his son, "We better start being mechaben again, Eid HaNovada." And somehow the Nazi officer disappeared. So this is what saved his life, having the Kavanah Gemara says. When you want to protect yourself from an Ein Hara, you have to be mechaben Eid HaNovada. It's not a trick, it's not a magic trick. You say the Pasuk, and you'll protect yourself from Ein Hara. You have to be mechaven what it means, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is the only one who has full control of the world. So he says, with Nisim Nisim, they were mechaven again, Eidim El Vadoi, and they were protected. So that's why he said he was upset at the way Rav Amram Bloy had said, "What's the problem? If Rav Reuven Benges was suffering from an Ein Hara, so the same Eidim El Vadoi will chase away the Ein Hara." That's not right. The way to chase away an Ein Hara, we should believe in Yichud Hashem, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is in full control of everything in the world. We have to daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We believe in tefillah. From the 13 principles of faith that the Rambam lists off, one of them is that we believe in nevuah. What does it mean we believe in nevuah? There are those who believe in the existence of God. There are over the Avodah Zarah, other religions who believe in the existence of a God, but they don't believe in prophecy. How can God communicate with man? So we believe that God can communicate with men and men can communicate with God. Nevuah is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a communication to a human being, and Tefillah is when man communicates, we speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just like we can hear him, he can hear us. He doesn't always have to answer yes, sometimes he answers no. But we believe in Ikir and Emunah that there can be, and there always is, and there always will be, communication between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and mankind. We believe in Tefillah. One is not permitted to ask for a nes. One is not permitted to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a nes. There's a Mishnah in Brachas. Mishnah says, if my wife is pregnant and I had already 6 boys and I'm dying to have a girl, so my wife is already high pregnant, she's about to have a baby another month, so it's too late to pray now. Before she becomes pregnant, you should ask, you should have whatever you want to have. But you don't ask when you're holding by the end. What, you want the Ribbono Shel Olam to make a miracle? Or I'm traveling home and I hear that there's a sreifa in the neighborhood. The fire department came to put out a fire and I don't know which house is on fire, and I prayed to the Ribbono Shel Olam, it shouldn't be my house. Either it is my house or it isn't my house. Now it's too late to pray that it shouldn't be my house. What are you praying? A miracle should happen. It shouldn't be your house. That's ridiculous. A person is mamish holding by gesisa. A person is holding by the very end. Then you pray, you should have a refuah shleima. What do you mean? But the doctor says it's impossible, he's not going to recover. You're not allowed to ask the Ribbono Shel Olam for a nes. I remember many years ago, the first time we visited Eretz Yisrael, we were married for a few years, we didn't have any children. So we decided to visit Eretz Yisrael. And this, the Gemara says, sometimes because you live in Chutz La'aretz, you won't be blessed with children. So we visited Eretz Yisrael, we were blessed with 9 children. Many, many grandchildren since then. So my wife's grandfather had spent time in Panevish at the end of his life. He was very friendly with the Panevish Rav, so we spent time in Bnei Brak and Panevish Yeshiva. So I remember one day Mincha in the yeshiva, they were saying Tehillim for one of the people in the kollel who had cancer, serious case of cancer. So the Mashgiach said he's not going to say Tehillim. What do you mean? The guy's going to die. What are you saying Tehillim? It's ridiculous. He asked him for a nes, Abchatzka Levenstein. He didn't want to say Tehillim. So I remember he was standing up in the front of the Mizrachan, and Shmuel Razovsky leaned over to him and he said to him, he told us later on what happened. He said to him, no, he has the same cancer that so-and-so had, the same type of cancer, and so-and-so survived. The Mashgiach said, it's a different story. If it's possible, the Derech HaTeva, that a person should survive, then we should ask. Then you're not asking for a Nes Nigla. And Shulchan Aruch says that if one forgot to say Al HaNisim in Birchas HaMazon on Chanukah, Al HaNisim on Chanukah is only Rishus. You're not in davening, you're mechuyev to say Al HaNisim. But in Birchas HaMazon, the Gemara says it's optional. If one wants to say Al HaNisim, it's not a hefsek, you're allowed to say. So our minig is that we do say Al HaNisim in benching on Chanukah. So if a person forgot to say Al HaNisim, you don't have to repeat the benching. If it's only optional, it's only Rishus. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that the minig is, after you finish the other Malach HaSreini, you finish the whole bench, and then you say HaRachman. All the different tefillahs to say HaRachman. So you should add on another HaRachman. HaRachman HaYasalon and Nisim in Eflois. G'shem Shalsis Alav Seinah Bayam HaMayim Azman Azeh. Then you say B'meim HaTisah Bin Yerchen, and you say it at the end. So the commentaries on the bottom of the page ask, what do you mean? You say HaRachman HaYasalon and Nisim in Eflois. The Mishnah says you're not allowed to ask for Nisim. How can you say such a Lashon? HaRachman HaYasalon and Nisim. So they say there are three klolim. You're permitted to ask for an Eis Nistar. If my wife is not yet pregnant, you can ask her, I should have a girl. I have already so many boys, I want to have a girl. You can ask a person is sick, he's not holding by the end. You can ask, Baruch Hashem should make a nest. The doctor should discover a cure. They should be able to treat. That's an Eis Nistar. You're not allowed to ask for an Eis Nigla. Then they say, even for an Eis Nigla, you're permitted to ask on behalf of Klal Yisrael, because they ain't Mazel Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is L'mayla ben Ateva. You can ask on behalf of Klal Yisrael, even unusual Nisim. And if a person is an unusual tzaddik, so the Gemara says in Titus, different stories, there's one perek in Titus, Masechus Titus, that tells, it's known as the Pirka de Hasidi, the perek that tells all the stories about the tzaddikim and the Hasidim. So you have different cases mentioned in the Gemara, that tzaddikim asked, unusual tzaddikim asked the Ribbono Shel Olam for unusual miracles, mamish neis nigla. So the commentaries explain that a person who's an unusual tzaddik is like Klal Yisrael, so he's permitted even to ask for an Eis Nigla. But a normal person, you're not allowed to ask for an Eis Nigla. So remember in the yeshiva, in Panavish yeshiva, the Mashgiach didn't want to say Tehillim. You're not allowed to be mispalel for a chayla. If you have a chayla who's deathly ill, every so often they ask us to be mispalel for a chayla, mamish holding by the end. So we say Tehillim, and we don't ask her, Baruch Shalom, should give her a full Shalom. Yes, Baruch Shalom should have Rachmanis. Rachmanis sometimes means the person should die in peace. Rachmanis means the person should have Tchias HaMeisen, B'chayim Meisen B'rachman Rabin. Sometimes they ask us to say Tehillim, maybe the person died already. So you can't ask if she give a refuah shleima. If he's holding by Gesisa, you're not allowed to ask for a refuah. We ask the Baruch Shalom to have Rachmanis on the patient. The Baruch Shalom knows what Rachmanis is. Either he should get better, he should die pleasantly, or if he's dead already, he should have Rachmanis, he should have a Tchias HaMeisen. But you're not allowed to ask for a nes. The Gemara says, "Mishiyesh lebechoyle b'soch beiso." If someone has someone in the family is sick, yelech etzol chacham yivaku sholav rachman. You should go to a big tzaddik and ask him to daven. What is that all about? You go to a chassidish rebbe and ask him to daven. What kind of voodoo magic is that? So the Gemara says, "Ein endoy mitfilas tzaddik ben tzaddik mitfilas tzaddik ben rasha." A tzaddik offers a prayer, so you stand a better chance of having the tzaddik's prayer answered in the affirmative than if a plain person offers the prayer. Even if you have two people who are both equal in level of tzidkis, they're both tzaddik, and one is a tzaddik ben tzaddik, one is a tzaddik ben hedyot, the other one, his father, is not a tzaddik. So the Rashi and Chumash has the comment. The Tanoim point out that one is a tzaddik ben tzaddik, we stand a better chance of having his prayer answered in the affirmative then the one who's a plain tzaddik on his own. So the Gemara says, there is such a concept. Who has a chayla, someone is sick in the family, go to a chacham, go to a tzaddik ben tzaddik, and he asks him to be mispalel for the chayla. Sometimes prayers don't help. I tell over the story, when we visited Eretz Yisrael, we didn't have any children, So we stayed 3 days in Bnei Brak. So someone said I should go to the stipler to ask him for a tefillah, to ask him for a bracha. We should have, I had never heard of the stipler. This was a long time ago. I never heard of the stipler. He wasn't world famous at that time. So I said, who is he? What is he? So he told me he wrote a lot of svarim. You go and you buy a sefer and then you ask him for a bracha. So I went. He was hard of hearing. He wasn't deaf. He was hard of hearing. So he screams out to me in Yiddish, what can I do for you? So he had a pad of paper you have to write down. So I wrote down, I want to buy his safe. I didn't know whether I would like his sperm. So I didn't want to buy all the sperm. What am I going to invest so much money? So I said, I wanted to buy one safer. We're going to learn Kiddushin that year. So I want to buy a safer. And he climbs up on the ladder. It was an old man. Climbs up on the ladder and he gives me the safer. He wipes off the dust. And then I give him the money and he starts giving me the change. I caught a change. So I said, it's okay, you can keep the change. He said, doesn't need any donations. Business, he gives me back the quarter change. Then he screams out loud, what else can I do for you? So I write down on a pad of paper, I'm married a few years. We don't have any children. Can he bless me with children? So he gave us a bracha, we should have children. Then he screams out, what else can I do for you? So I said, I learned in the Kailo. Can you give me a bracha? I should be matzliya. So he screams at me, young man, in Yiddish, young man, all the brachas in the world are not going to help. Sit and learn, and you'll be matzliach. There's some things that you can pray all you want. That's up to you. You pray the Rebbeinu Shalom should give you a refuah. Pray the Rebbeinu Shalom should give you children. But that, it doesn't help to pray. You can go to the biggest tzaddik in the world. You should pray, you should be matzliach. The prayers don't help. The Gemara says in the end of Maseches Nida, the Gemara says, what should a person do in order to have children? So the Gemara says, do this, that, the other thing, and offer a prayer. Then the Gemara, what should you do in order to make $1 million? The Gemara says, do this, that, and the other thing, and offer a prayer. Everything the Gemara tells you what you should do, the Gemara first has all the steps, b'derach ha-teva, what ishtavas you should do, and then the last line is, you should offer a prayer. That's after you work hard in learning, then you offer the prayer. But just to offer a prayer, they should be matzlichening, since that doesn't make any sense. We believe in prayer. That's not losa nachshuv, losa nena. That's not chukas hagoyim. We believe in prayer. We believe in tefilas hatzadik. If he's a tzadik ben tzadik, it certainly even works better. In recent years, there's a new shtick that people have problems in shalom bayis, that they don't have children, whatever. So they take the mezuzahs down, they live in America, they take all the mezuzahs down from the house and they travel to Eretz Yisrael and they show it to the mekubalim and they tell them what the problem is. What kind of business is this? You take down the mezuzahs, you mevatel the mitzvah mezuzah for a month when you're traveling around in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, mezuzah is chayves hador. You're only obligated to put a mezuzah. I have a home, let's say, with 25 rooms and 10 of the rooms I never use. I only use 15 rooms. So the rooms that I never use, I'm not chayv and mezuzah. But the Rishonim say in Bava Metzia, the end of Bava Metzia, there's a little bit in the Gemara about mezuzah. So the Shitim Kobetzah says in the Gemara, if I have 10 different homes in 10 different locations in the world, and I spend 1 month a year over there, 1 month a year over there, 1 month a year over there, so I'm chayv and mezuzah on all 10 homes, all 12 months of the year. It's not only when I live in the house I need the mezuzah, then I take the mezuzah and put it on the next house. All 10 homes is chayves hador, even when you happen not, even if you are on vacation. So what kind of business is it? People take down the mezuzahs and they travel to Eretz Yisrael touring for a month and they give the mezuzah to a mekubal. You're not allowed to be mevatel the mitzvah mezuzah for a month. It's a mitzvah in Atar to have mezuzahs on the door, even in chutz l'aretz. Taisus raises the possibility, maybe only homes in Eretz Yisrael, maybe chutz l'aretz is not called beisecha, maybe it's only beisecha in Eretz Yisrael. Taisus says it's not true. Yechayv and mezuzah and chutz l'aretz on the same level, biblical level, as Yechayv and mezuzah in Eretz Yisrael. The latest shtick is that people bring the ksuba if they have a problem in shalom bayis, a problem with chum, so they bring the mezuzah to mekubalim and they'll study the ksuba, they'll study the names, and they say someone has to change their name, the wife has to change their name, the husband has to change their name. They make a Shini Hashem, they wave a magic wand, they make a Shini Hashem, and they fill out a new ksuba. So one of the former chief rabbis, Big Talmud Chacham, Rabbi Bakshi Doron, has a collection of tshuvas. He used to come when he was chief rabbi, he came to the OU convention, so he gave me a set of his tshuvas, beautiful tshuvas. So every tshuva has a number, tshuva number one, tshuva number two, tshuva number three. One tshuva has a title, instead of having, in addition to having a number, has a title. The title is Tomim Tia Im Hashem Alakecha. It's a longer tshuva than most of the others. He's attacking this practice that people bring the ksuba to a mekubal and says, Baba Mises, he knows Kabbalah also, the whole thing is Baba Mises, if you change the name, you have no right to fill out a new ksuba right away. A person is only called by that name, you only have a right to use that name if he's huchzak with the name for 30 days. That's how it says in the Gemara. So if the mekubel changes your name overnight and then he writes a new ksuba, the new ksuba is pasul. And you're living with your wife without a ksuba because they ripped up the old one and the new one is no good. He says, this is baloney, this is baba mai. He says, they should fulfill the pasuk, tamim piyam Hashem alakecha. The Torah tells us the way to solve your problem is if you keep all the mitzvahs in the Torah. We just read it yesterday. The Rabbanu Shlom says this: the best skula for good health and parnas and children and nachas and everything that people want is to daven and to keep the mitzvahs in the Torah. This business of changing the name. The Gemara speaks about Shin Hashem. If you have a chayla. The Gemara in Masech Zvashana says that there is a concept of Shin Hashem, but the Gemara only has it by Cholim, by sick people. You don't have it by anyone who has a problem of Shalom Bayis, anyone who has a problem, they don't have any children. He has a whole attack against this. Rabbi Hirsch, I live in Washington Heights. The Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch has in one of his essays that we have a difference, the two types of karbanos. There are kachi kachim, the higher level of karbanos, and kachim kalim, the lower level of karbanos. So kachim kalim, mainly, mostly, can be eaten for 2 days. I bring a karban shlomim today, so I can eat it shnei amim v'laylech, I can eat it today, tonight, and tomorrow till shkiyah. I can eat it 2 days. Kachi kachim is only nechol, yom v'laylech chatzah, is today and tonight. So he says, what's the moral of the story? That the more mekudesh the korban is, the more holy it is, the more time sensitive it is. That if you leave it till tomorrow morning, it's already nipsal belina, it's already pasul. So he said the same is true regarding holy menhagim. The Jewish people have holy menhagim, and the rabbanim in every generation have to investigate whether the menhagim still makes sense. And he complains that we have old menhagim that started hundreds of years ago, that made sense hundreds of years ago, that no longer make any sense. Due to changing circumstances, it looks like nichush, it looks like superstitions. We shouldn't continue these minhagim. The rabbanim in every generation have to investigate whether the minhagim still makes sense or not. There's a famous tshuva by the Rabbi Natam. If you look in the Gemara Gittin, in the back of the Gemara, they have the Mordechai printed. It's on the bottom of the page of the Mordechai. They have part of this tshuva by the Rabbi Natam. He points out that the word minhag is spelled mem, nun, hey, gimel, same letters as gehenna. Gimel, hey, nun, mem. He says a lot of times you observe a minhag, you go straight to gehenna. He says you have to be careful. The rabbanim have to investigate every minhag. Is it a correct minhag or is it a minhag shtus? Those people who learn Bava Basra in the opening Mishnah Maseches Bava Basra says if you have two people or neighbors, they want to build a wall, each one wants privacy. So it depends what's the minhag hamakom. So it says if they want to build a wall from bricks, it should be so thick. If they want to build a wall from stone, it should be so thick. If they want to build a wall with this material, wood, it should be so thick. It has a few things how thick it should be. Then it says, what if they want to build a wall from some other material? So it says hakol k'minhag hamdina, whatever the minhag hamdina is. So Tosfos is bothered with the kasha. So why did the Mishnah bother to say if you're building from bricks, if you're building from stone? Just right, whatever material you want to build with, hakol k'minhag hamdina. So the Rabbi Natam and Tosfos says what he wrote in the Tshuva, mikan yesh lilmod. Tosfos on the first page of Bava Basra. From this Mishnah you can derive that there are certain minhagim that are called minhag shtus that you're not allowed to follow. So the Mishnah says if you're building from bricks it should be so thick, and if the minhag hamakom is that you make it thicker, it's a waste of money and you're not mechuyev. The neighbor is not mechuyev to spend so much money. Minhagim have to make sense. Minhagim have to be revisited by the Rabbanim in every generation to determine whether the minhag still makes sense. And if the minhag is outdated, it's like korbanos become nifsal belina, so the minhagim become possible. So you're not permitted to observe such minhagim. They tell the story about the Satmar Rebbe. Satmar used to daven very late on Matzoy Shabbos. They waited later. The Rebbe used to have Shalashudas and say Shalashudas Torah. It was ready in the middle, it was way after Shabbos was over. So one of the Hasidim, after all the Hasidim went home, there was one Chassid who was still left behind, he was folding his talus. So the Satmar Rebbe walked over to him and he says, how come everybody else left? What are you doing here? Oh, he says, Rebbe, he has a problem of Shalom Bayis, and it says in the Holy Svarim that when you fold your talus meticulously on Matzoy Shabbos, it's a zgula for Shalom Bayis. So he hopes that by folding the talis meticulously, he'll be blessed with Shalom Bayis. So the Rebbe told him, why don't you go home and help your wife wash the dishes? That's a bigger school for Shalom Bayis. Folding the talis means if you're neat, a neat person has a neat mind and he'll be neat in his life. It's not a school it's a school of Bederach HaTeva. Schools are supposed to be Bederach HaTeva. Whatever is Lamayla Min HaTeva is a Nisa Chukas Satmar and Nisa Nichash. You're not allowed to follow that. I remember about 5 years ago, my wife tells me Shabbos after Pesach. My wife always bakes her own challah, and she tells me Shabbos after Pesach. The Rebbetzin from the neighborhood called her up on the telephone that she has to bake the challah this Shabbos and put in a key. Shlissel challah. I said, don't you dare put any key in. It's mamish nichush. What kind of baloney is this? It's based on a passage in the Gemara. The Gemara says on the first daf of Maseches Tainis that there are three keys, shlosha maftachas, there are three keys that the Ribbono Shel'olam doesn't give to the Malachim to run the world. He does it directly. The maftach for parnasa, the maftach for having babies, and the maftach for tchias ha-meisim. These three keys the Ribbono Shel'olam has complete control. So they made a minute, you put a key. The first challah that you bake after Pesach, you put a key in the challah to represent the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam has the key in heaven, and he controls Parnassah, and we believe that the Ribbono Shel Olam controls Parnassah. It's ridiculous. So now, people already forgot what the key is supposed to represent. They think that you put the key in the challah, that's a zgula that is going to work for Parnassah. That's not going to work, and that's a nisa. That's ridiculous. That's not going to work. The Shulchan Aruch recommends, the Mechaber recommends, and some people do it, you should recite Parshas Haman every day. What's the significance of reciting Parshas Haman every day? So the Psukim tell us that the Ribbono Shel Olam brought man and he brought down slav, the chicken that they ate, the fowl that they ate. So when the people were eating the slav, it says in Parshas, yesterday said it doesn't say the whole story. In Parshas Baal Oischa it says, Habasar Adeda Ben Shinein, when the people were chewing the chicken, so many of them died in the Magefa, the Ribbono Shel Olam was upset over the Ochle HaSlav. He wasn't upset over the Ochle HaMon, but he was upset over the Ochle HaSlav. What was the difference between the Mon and the Slav? So Rashi in his commentary on Chumash says, look, if the people go to the deserts, if Baruch Shalom wants them to go to the desert, he has to give them Parnassus, he has to give them some food. So they had the right to ask for Mon, but if they already have Mon, and it's delicious and it's tasty, and it's nutritious, so what do they have to ask for Slav? That's like asking for dessert at the end of the meal. You didn't need dessert. It's nutritious without the ice cream at the end, and you didn't need it, so it was improper that they asked the Ribbono Shel Olam to make a miracle that he should bring down the slav. That's how Rashi quotes from the Medrash. Rav Soloveitchik gave Adrasha another suggestion. He said, the man says in Chumash that it was lechem min hashamayim. It was clear that the man was parnasa that came down from heaven. If a person believes that parnasa is min hashamayim, that's fine. The slav, it says in the pasuk, the slav came from the yam, from this world. So the people who ate the slav thought that the parnasa comes from this world. Truth of the matter, the pasuk says HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused the slav to go to the yam, and then it came from the yam to the Bnei Yisrael. So the slav also came in hashamayim, but the people didn't realize that. So those who ate the slav thought parnasa is min olam hazeh. So Rav Soloveitchik developed the whole drasha that he thought that that's basically the difference between Orthodox Jews and the Apikursim. The Orthodox Jews believe in this Gemara that Parnassah is min hashamayim, and Kol Mezaros Shalat Suvan Lo Mirosh Hashanah. So you're not going to be Mechal Shabbos in order to make a better Parnassah, and you're not going to cheat in business, and you're not going to cheat on income tax in order to make more money. Parnassah is min hashamayim. So whatever you're going to do that's going to be keneged haTorah is not going to help you make a better Parnassah. So an Orthodox Jew who believes in Parnassah min hashamayim, the Gimel Maftochas Lainimsur V'yad HaShaliach, he will be, that's wonderful. That's why you should recite Parshas Haman every day, to be Mechazik the Amunah, that Parnassah is min hashamayim. And if you have this attitude, Parnassah is min hashamayim, you're not going to compromise on the mitzvah Sator in order to make a better Parnassah, because it's not going to help, because the Parnassah is min hashamayim. The Ochle HaSlav were punished because their attitude was the Slav came in Ayam. It comes from Olam Hazeh. It will be a go-getter and you'll be a hustler and you'll cut corners and you violate the laws of Ainon. You violate the laws of Gezel. You violate the laws of Din and the Machusa. You won't pay taxes. Then you make a better Parnasa. So that's why the Ribbono Shel Olam was upset about the Ochle HaSlav. They felt that the Parnasa comes from Olam Hazeh, which it doesn't. Many people have a practice that they're so meticulous to recite Parshas Haktoris every day. They feel that that'll be a zgula for Ashiras. The Mishnah says in Yuma that every day they used to have a pious to determine there were hundreds of Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. Who has the schus to do the Avodas HaKarbonos? Everybody's going to run, they're going to kill each other. The Mishnah gives a case where the Kohanim were prepared to be makriv the Karbonos, and then they were like drawing lots who has the right to shech the Karbon, and one beat out the other one, so they were all holding knives, and one of them stabbed the other one in the heart. He killed him in the Beis HaMikdash because he got the schus to be makriv the Karbon, and the other guy lost that. So they instituted a whole system of lottery, how to determine. So the Mishnah says, when it comes to Haktoras Haktoras, they would announce Chadoshim Haktoras Bo V'Hafisu. Only those who never yet had a chance in their lives to be Makt Haktoras, to often burn the Haktoras in the Heichol, only such Kohanim have a right to participate in this lottery, because the Gemara says, the one is Makt Haktoras, it's his Gula for Ashiras, that's a Pasuk in Chumash. That's a school for Ashiras. And the Chachamim wanted to spread the wealth. So whoever had a chance in the past to be Makdiv Teres, you shouldn't have a second chance. Let other people have an opportunity. So not only do we assume that the one is Makdiv Teres is a school for Ashiras, it says in Shulchan Aruch that serving as a Sandik at a Bris, there's a Medrash that says that the Sandik is considered as if he was Makdiv Teres. So since Makdik Teres is a school of Ashiras, a Sandik Kos is a school of Ashiras. The Vilna Gaon writes in his commentary, I served as a Sandik many times and I never got rich. He doesn't believe in the whole thing. So others say, I remember Rav Soloveitchik made that comment. We were learning Shulchan Aruch, so Rav Soloveitchik said, like the Vilna Gaon, I served as a Sandik many times and I never got rich. So I remember that time I used to sit in class next to Rabbi Herschel Schechter, the famous Rabbi Herschel Schechter, the real Rabbi Herschel Schechter. The one who was a chaplain in the Second World War, the one who liberated Rabbi Lau as a little chap. He was an American chaplain in the United States Army. So he used to sit next to me in the shiur. He's my father's age. Rabbi Schechter is still alive. My father passed away. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said, I was a Sandik many times and I never got rich. So Rabbi Schechter said in Yiddish, the Shteiten Svarim, it says in the Holy Hasidic Svarim, that each Ashiris means different things from different people. For people interested in learning, Ashiras means wealth and learning. So the Rebbe was zeichet to Ashiras. That's a disciple. Served as a sandik many times, and he attributed the fact that he was so matzlich and publishing so many svarim to the fact that he was a sandik. His Ashiras was not an Ashiras in wealth, a wealth in learning, a wealth in hatzlochet, that his svarim was so accepted. So that's Rabbi Herschel Schechter told Rabbi Soloveitchik, you were zeichet to Ashiras. Ashiras in learning. They have so much learning in Mehanet, so many Talmidim. So there is a concept. Haktoras Haktoras is the school of Hashiras. Sandikois, we assume the Shulchan Aruch is the school of Hashiras. That's why it says you shouldn't be Mechabed the same person twice, because he's supposed to spread the wealth. You should be Mechabed someone else by the next bris. And there is such a practice. The Gemara says that Unashama farms Vaseinu. Bizman Shein, Beis HaMikdash Kaim, we don't have an opportunity to actually bring the Ktoras. So if you recite the Psukim of Ktoris is considered Kiilu Hikrivu Asak Karbonos, like when we daven in the morning. We recite the Psukim of the Karbonos, and based on the prophecy, based on the promise of the Nevi'im, Shalma forms of Sana, Kodesh Baruch Hu considers it as if we actually brought the Karbonos. Here also, there is such a concept, as Gula for Ashiris. But many have the practice that they have this written on a cloth, a piece of parchment. This is very, very questionable, even though they quote in the name of the Chazon Ish that it's perfectly okay. It's highly questionable. The Gemara says explicitly, and it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, it's not permitted to write less than a Sefer Sholem. You have to write the whole Sefer Shmois. You can't just write a Parshas Keteres. You're not allowed to write less than a Sefer Sholem. Unless it's really the Tzorah Gadol. The Gemara says when little children go to Cheder and they're learning, so it's too difficult for them to carry a whole Chumash Bereishis. So you give them a booklet that only has Parshas Lech Lecha, or Parshas Vayera. So the Tinuk L'Hislamin, for little children, we allow it. But if there's no major tzorah, say not allowed to write less than the same Shalom. So it's really against Halacha to have such a Parsha. The Ikar is not so much to recite the Parshas HaKtoris. We have to have emunah that the Ribbono Shel Olam Yichud Hashem means we believe Einoid Mulvada. Not only there's no other God other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no other power outside of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The person believes that the Parnosas Min HaShemayim, that the mafteach of parnas is min hashamayim, so then it will be zeicher for hatzlocha in parnas. We read in Tarach, in many different places, that the idol worshippers of old used to believe that by offering karbanos to the gods, they would bribe the gods. If you give the god a karban, you bribe the god and he's going to give you whatever you want. So the prophets always complained about this. I don't need your miserable karbanos, don't do me any favors anymore. It's better to listen to the mitzvah. To listen to the mitzvah of Ribbono Shel Olam is more important than Chayei Levavim. We should listen to the mitzvah of Ribbono Shel Olam. The Nevi'im were always complaining about this. You have the Psukim in Chumash that describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu as such a fear God, and he's described Asher lo yisafani v'lo yikach shechad. He's even handed, he doesn't show favoritism, v'lo yikach shechad, he doesn't accept any bribes. How can you bribe God? What are you going to give money? How do you bribe God? So Ramban explains, shechad mitzvahs. I'll give $25,000 to tzedakah, $100,000 to tzedakah, and then I'll do kol davar asa. I gave tzedakah. So the Baruch Shalom has to be kind to me. So that's what the pasuk says, Asher lo yikach sheichad. The Baruch Shalom will not accept sheichad mitzvah just because he gave a lot of tzedakah, just because you do a couple of mitzvahs over here. But if you know you're doing wrong over here, the Baruch Shalom will not accept the sheichad. This is exactly what this practice is all about. People are not so medactic in the whole davening. But all of a sudden, they're going to recite the Parshas HaKtoris, and this will serve as a skula. It does. The halacha says, HaKtoris HaKtoris is a skula for Ashiris. And reciting the Parshas and the Shalma Farm Sarasayin are also a skula for Ashiris. But it's a skula for Ashiris if you do everything else right. If you're violating other things, you know you're doing wrong. So even actually bringing the karbonis, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, Olam Ali Rovs of Checha, I'm not interested in your karbonis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not accept Sheichad Mitzvahs. Ikar is we have to observe all of the mitzvahs in the Torah. We have to follow scientific things. If you do things that are not ois gehalten based on science, that's a clear violation of Chukas Hakom. That's what the Gemara says. And the Pasuk says in Chumash, all the nations of the world will look at the Jewish people and they'll see Rakam Chacham Navon Hagoy Hagodl Hazeh. What is Kiyichach Baschem Vinaschem Leinei Ha'amim means that we sit and learn in the Kailo. We sit and learn in Yeshiva Yitzchach Baschem Vinaschem Leinei Ha'amim. What the Goyim are so inspired by the fact that we sit and learn. Gemara says no. Gemara says based on this pasuk is a mitzvah lachashev kufis. It's a mitzvah that the Jews should study science and physics. And when we study physics, the Goyim will have respect for us. The percentage of the Jews in the world population is way less than 1%. And the percentage of the Jews who got Nobel Awards is much more than 20%. And the percentage of the Orthodox Jews in the world population is not so great. And the number of Orthodox Jews who got Nobel Awards is higher than their percentage among the Jews. The Jews are the Amman Yivchor. And we are instructed by the Baruch Shalom, we're supposed to do things for the whole world. We're supposed to do Kiyichach Maschem Levin Asim Leinei Ha'amin. The Halachas Gedolos counts that as one of the mitzvahs, one of the 630 mitzvahs. We should study physics. We should study chemistry. We should study all the sciences. Even if you don't agree, the Rambam is not happy with the Halachas, even if you don't agree. But everything that the Jew does is supposed to be ois gehalten, based on scientific things, not supposed to do superstitious things. When the Torah was given, the Jews were at the forefront in the battle fighting against superstition. The Ribbono Shel Olam at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the whole world was full of superstition. Science was just beginning to be developed at that time. Everything was backward. Now, because we have such a carryover of so many minhagim from years ago, and everybody observing all the old minhagim, and a lot of minhagim don't make any sense, like Rabbeinu Hirsch said. The nifsal balina, the more mekudesh the thing is, the more time sensitive it is. So people have to ask shailas. Does it still make sense to observe this minute or that minute? Many minhagim should have disappeared years ago. The rabbanim have to investigate all the minhagim each and every minute. The Jewish people should stop being superstitious. We have to be again the leaders of the battle, in the forefront of the battle, fighting against superstition. Thank you very much.